The study for today will be study number 34 in our series that we've entitled Angels and Giants, Fact or Fiction. And Ella and I talk a lot about fiction, don't we, Ella? We talk about Greek mythology and maybe some stuff that has been lost but maybe wasn't fiction at one time. The stories that we've heard, I think, stem, a lot of these legends stem from the fact that giants did inhabit the earth back in the day. And that's where a lot of these things come for. So the date stamp for today will be March 13th, 2022. And our purpose, I think all studies should have a purpose. And you that are online have heard me say this many times. The purpose of this series is to investigate the angels and giants mentioned in Scripture. And by doing so, alleviate some of the confusion that some scripture passages seem to generate. So that's our point, and that's what we're shooting for in this study series as we move along. For our last study, last week we concluded our look at Gideon and his encounter with both the Lord Jehovah. Now I want to stress this, that when you look in the Old Testament, you got to be specific as to whether it's the Lord Jehovah speaking to the individual in question, or whether it's the Lord Jehovah or whether it's an angel of the Lord. And we looked at that in both instances with regards to Gideon in Judges chapter 6 and 7. So that's where we were last week. So for today's study, let's review yet another amazing account of God sending an angel to Israel to raise up a servant to him. And you would say, well, why does God need to raise up a servant? Well, the particular time frame we're going to be referring to today, is going to be the servitude of Israel under the Philistines. And God gave Israel over to the Philistines for 40 years. And that's a span of time stretching from 1080 B.C., actually from 1120 B.C. up to 1080 B.C. And we will be looking at that this morning. And we're in the book of Judges. We're going to be in Judges chapter 13. And the book of Judges is regarding the judges that God appointed over Israel. Now, this is before Israel finally said, God, we want a king like all the other nations have to go in and out and do our battles for us. But these judges were given to rule over Israel before Israel had the kings, before the age of the kings of Israel. And there were many of them, both of Israel and of Judah, as it turns out when they split at a certain point. So, turn with me today, if you would, to the book of Judges again. We're going to start in chapter 13. And it actually, this account of Samson probably goes through all the way through chapter 17. Actually, it goes all the way through chapter 16. So we're going to be looking at 13 through 16 ultimately. We're not going to get but maybe a couple of these. We'll get the introduction and some of the things in today. But all this dealings with this angel of the Lord is going to take place here mostly in chapter 13. And I want you to pay special attention to what's happening here, because the angel of the Lord once again is going to appear unto a woman. And the angel is going to tell the woman that she's going to have a child. And this child is going to deliver Israel, or help Israel, as the case was here with Samson. So turn with me to Judges chapter 13, verse 1. And we'll begin today. I'm going to read all 25 verses. But I want you to note the angel's words and instructions to Manoah and his wife. And incidentally, Manoah's wife, Samson's mother, is never named in this chapter. She's never called by her name. She's always called by the woman, or the wife of Manoah. Manoah is the father of Samson. Hopefully everybody knows who Samson is. Grace is looking at me like she don't really know who Samson is. Samson, remember, was a man of great strength. And his strength came from a certain physical aspect that he had. And that's part of the whole story here. We won't spoil it so you'll know what's going on here. So turn with me, Judges 13:1. And it says this, and the children of Israel, this is the fifth of five captivities that this is the Lo-Ammi periods that I mentioned last week. This is the fifth of five Lo-Ammi periods where God literally divorces Israel. He gives them over into the hand of their enemies, and God said, you're not my people because of your, where it says that children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, but the again is, should be again and again and again and again and again. Because they really had a problem sticking with God. God never had a problem sticking with Israel. It was Israel who had the problem sticking with God. So they did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and God gives them over into the hands of the Philistines. The Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. And like I said, that time spans from 1120 B.C. to 1080 B.C. Okay? And then it starts. In verse 2, it says, and there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites. So we know that Manoah is out of the tribe of Dan, which was one of the sons of Israel, or Jacob. So it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Dan, and this man Zorah is of the tribe of Dan. Certain man of Zorah was this of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. Now, I think it's interesting that the word Noah is in his name. His name is Manoah. And his wife was barren and bear not, which means that she was evidently at the time unable to bear a child. She couldn't get pregnant, couldn't have a kid. Now, listen to this. Here's where it gets interesting. I mean, it jumps right in with this angel of the Lord. Verse 3 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. Now, this angel, where it says the angel equals the messenger, it says from verses 18, 19, and 22, the same that appeared to Gideon in chapter 6, 12. Why not? Probably the same angel that appeared unto Gideon and told Gideon the things Gideon needed to know regarding the servitude under the Midianites. Remember? Gideon delivered them from the servitude of the Midianites. Well, here the same angel, evidently, or could be, is appearing unto Manoah's wife. So the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but, you see the but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. The angel says, I know how you are now. Now you're not able to conceive, but you will bear a son. So that was probably very good news to her, because within the economy of Israel, the greatest thing that a woman could do for her husband and her family would be to give the husband a son. A child at all, but mainly a son to carry on the name. That, with Israel, that was a big deal. So it's in verse 4, now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink, and here's the instructions to her as she's learning what this angel has to say. So he says, beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine, verse 4, nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. See, the Israelites already at this point knew from the law what was a clean thing and what was an unclean thing to eat. But she was supposed to remain clean. No strong drink, no wine, no alcohol, the angel told her. I pray thee, Beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. And then there's a full stop there, as Dad says, with a colon. Now he's going to explain to her why. I'm telling you what to do in verse 4. In verse 5, he's going to tell her why I'm telling you this, or why the rules have to be as they are. For lo, he says in verse 5, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son. And listen to this. And no razor shall come on his head. Do not cut his hair. Interesting. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God. This is new. This is very new. You remember over in the book of Acts when Paul shaved his head and took the vow of the Nazarite? See, there's a little bit of a, I don't know if he had to start fresh with a new growth of hair to the Lord or what, but it's a little different situation with Paul in the book of Acts when he takes the vow of the Nazarite, as the description is here. The instructions were, when this child is born, when this boy comes forth, you do not cut his hair at all. Do not put a razor to his head. It says, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God, or as the translation is, one separate unto Elohim. Elohim being the creator God. This man is separated out to God for a specific purpose. Vow of the Nazarite. So, no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. The minute he comes out of his mother's womb. And he shall begin, listen, he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. This man that you will have, that's coming out of your womb, will be the man who will deliver out of the captivity of the Philistines. What about that for morning news? If you're just minding your own business and this angel shows up to you and begins to tell you all these things, how would it make you feel, ladies, if it were you? Make you feel pretty special, wouldn't it? I'm going to be the mother of the deliverer of Israel. My son is going to be the one to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Amazing. So it says in verse 6, then the woman came and told her husband. She went to Manoah, probably pretty excited about it. And she said this. She said, a man, an Ish. Remember we talked about Ish? The high man and Enosh, the low man? Ish is the high man. A man of God, she said. And see, Manoah doesn't know that it doesn't dawn on him that it's an angel, and I'm not sure it dawns on her either. But she said, a man of God came unto me, and his countenance, his appearance, was like the countenance of an angel of God. Very, it says terrible, but the word for terrible in the Hebrew is a bad translation. Should be awe-inspiring. His countenance was he was awe-inspiring. He was just beautiful to look at. And these angels are. Their countenance was different from a normal man whenever they appeared to people. Probably without blemish, without any flaw in their skin. Probably absolutely beautiful. I mean, they were just different. They were a high man. When an angel transformed into a man, it wasn't an ordinary, ugly, McCurry-looking man like me. They were awe-inspiring. It was beautiful to look at. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very awe-inspiring. But I asked him not which he was, neither told me his name. She said, I don't know where he was from, and he didn't tell me his name. But he said unto me, she goes on talking to her husband. And she says, but he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and thou drink no wine or strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. And boy, she had it down what the angel said. She recounted everything to her husband that the angel had told her. Pretty good. She remembered it verbatim. It burned in pretty good. Isn't that interesting? Then verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord. Manoah believed the story that his wife told him. Although it's a pretty amazing story, wouldn't you think? Your wife comes running in and said, hey, I saw a man whose countenance was unbelievable, and he told me a lot of things that are going to happen in the future. Well, if Lori come running in and did me that way, I'd go, what have you been drinking? You know, it's kind of a little bit of an unbelievable story. But Manoah believed her because, it says in verse 8, he entreated the Lord, or he reached out to the Lord, prayed to the Lord. And he said, oh, my Lord, and the word my Lord there is Adonai in the text, but it should be Jehovah. And it says this is just one of the 134 changes indicated in the Masorah. You can read about that in Appendix 32. There's been some changes to the names of God in the scripture, and this is one of them. It's shown as Adonai, but should be rendered Jehovah in covenant relation. That's God in covenant relation to mankind. So Manoah said, he entreated the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. So Manoah believed what his wife said, but now his concern is, well, if an angel has come and told my wife what's coming down the road, then there must be a reason for it. I need to know what is special about this child and what we need to do special for him in training him or whatever. So that's what he prayed to the angel. He said, Lord, the angel that you did send, let it come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. Verse 9. And God hearkened. You think he doesn't hear prayers? You think God don't hear prayers? It said God hearkened to Manoah's prayer. What about that? He hearkened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. She was by herself again when the angel appeared. And the woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, look, behold, the man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. He's back. He's here again. And Manoah arose, verse 11. I bet he got up in a hurry and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, he said, art thou the man that spakest unto the woman? And the angel said, I am. He said, are you the guy that was telling my wife these things? And the angel said, yep, I am. Interesting that he said, I am. Well, I think I need to check the translation on both of those. But anyway, verse 12. And Manoah said, now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? Noah said, yeah, I'm with you on the prophecy. Let all that happen. But now I need to know what we're to do. He said, how shall we order the child, and how shall we do unto him? How do we raise him? And that literally should say in the Hebrew, what shall be the rule of the boy? and what shall be his work? What's going to be, how do we rule or raise him, and what is going to be his task? Because Manoah has reasoned out that if God has singled out this child to be special, then God has a plan for his life. And he did. Verse 13, and the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. The only rules are, no strong drink, no wine, don't eat anything unclean. Those are the rules. He said, of all I said unto the woman, let her beware, in verse 13 and 14, she may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded or forbade, all that I'm forbidding here is literally what it should say. Not all that I've commanded, but all that I have forbidden. Because all he was doing was giving her a list of things to avoid in her diet. That's all he was asking. All that I commanded or forbade her, let her observe. Let her go by that. Those are the rules for the pregnancy. The pregnancy is the only thing that has to be watched over. Do you notice that? Doesn't say anything for after he's born. And that's specifically what Manoah was interested in. How do I raise him? You've got a task for him. How do I prepare him for it? Well, God doesn't need Manoah to teach him anything. Why? Because he's God. God will take care of what Samson needs when the time comes. Won't he? Yeah, sure he will. So he said, all that I've commanded or forbade her to not to eat, let her observe. So it gets interesting here, verse 15. So Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain you. I want you to stay with us a little while until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. They were going to kill a young sheep and prepare the lamb's meat so that they could have a meal. He said, we shall have made, don't go until we've made ready a kid for thee. Now listen to the reply here from the angel of the Lord. This is interesting. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of thy bread. Now this is interesting because remember the angels that ate with Abraham? They ate, as did the Lord. But here, the angel said, even though you make me tarry, I'm not going to eat. He said, I will not eat of thy bread, and if thou wilt offer a burnt offering, thou must offer it. Look, if you're going to offer anything up, do not offer it to me. Offer it unto the Lord, the angel said. For Manoah knew not. See here? He still thinks he's talking to a man. Good-looking man, yes. Unusual man, yes. But Manoah thought he was still a man. For Manoah knew not. He was an angel of the Lord. He thought it was just a prophet or a knowledgeable man. Interesting. He had no idea what he was dealing with. Remember in Hebrews, Paul says, entreat your fellow man kindly, because some in doing so in that day had entreated angels unawares. They had entertained angels not even and didn't even know it. Well, here, that's exactly what Manoah is doing here. He's dealing with an angel of God, and he doesn't even know he's doing it. He thinks it's a man. He didn't know it was an angel. Very interesting. Verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name? That when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. Oh, we want to give honor to the angel, eh? We want to give honor to the angel by name, eh? Well, that ain't going to fly. Listen to this answer. Verse 18. I thought this was amazing. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? What? The names of the angel is secret? Evidently. Well, wonderful is what the word translates to. Why do you ask my name, seeing it's wonderful? Is how it should be rendered. Interesting. So Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. Now listen to this. And the angel did wondrously, or a wonderful thing, and Manoah and his wife looked on. So he offers the meat, it says, interestingly, upon a rock. Evidently, they use rocks for tables a lot. They would just spread the meat out on the rock. Yeah, or like an altar, and they'd just spread it out on the, spread it out there to be partaken of. So the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife, while they were watching, they looked on. Verse 20. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. So as the flame began to rise up off of the rock, off of that altar, the angel just hopped in the flame and left through the portal. That flame was a portal to take him back to the other side of the ice barrier that rests at the edge of our complete universe, of all we know. It's the only explanation. God allows these interfaces with mankind in this day that we're looking at here. God allowed these things to happen. So as that portal opened and the meat offering was accepted and began to go back to the Father, guess what else went back to the Father? The guy that was sitting there with him making all this apparent to him. He just jumped in the, flame and off he went. Now is that amazing or is that amazing? Beam me up, Scotty. Basically what you're looking at here. Only these went back to God. They didn't go to the Enterprise. They went to God.
They, that was a sign that it was
accepted
and that the individual that was there was a special individual.
Exactly. And that's what's coming next. So now it's pretty obvious as they stand there and look at each other with their jaws hanging down, that this was no man that they were dealing with. They know now. This is an angel of God. So let's read on. This is where it gets kind of interesting. So the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar, verse 20, and Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. There was a common belief in this day that anyone who looked upon God or on the angel of God would die. They were dead. No different here, but the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. So that was the last time they saw this angel. Now I wonder, just out of my own curiosity, if this angel had stayed on the earth from the time that he first revealed himself to Manoah's wife until the second time, all the way up until he went back to God in the flame here. It's probably a course of several days. I wonder if he was here. I think he was. I believe the angel was sent and he was here for that whole period of time from the time he first spoke to Manoah's wife until the time he hopped a ride on the flame to go back to God. I don't know.
He may have had to do some physical thing to the woman so she could become pregnant.
That's very possible. He told her, you will conceive.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But I just wondered if he had been.
It wasn't like Mary and the archangel
right
here. It was a lower class, but still it was for the purpose.
Had some intervention here, but it was a different type of intervention. I don't know if Manoah had the problem with fertility, if she had the problem with fertility. You don't know. We're not told.
But some reason.
Something was holding back the conception.
Yeah.
But evidently, it got taken care of. That's a good point, though. But I just wondered if he had been here for however many days this was that elapsed until he jumped in the flame and went back. Just something to, I don't know. My mind does these.
I don't know, but
I'm like, well, I wonder if he was here the whole time.
But it kind of works like, the angel kind of works like the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit now has a different kind of a thing for mankind concerning the plan and purpose of God.
Yeah. The Holy Spirit deals with us in this dispensation
differently
than he dealt with men in the Acts period.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to get across to people.
But
when they read all these things that happened in Acts, and a lot of them, like the Pentecostals, come away thinking, well, I should be able to do this. I should have these powers. I should be able to, you know, the snake handlers and all this. You know, I should be able to do all the things that they did. No. That dispensation ended along with it, with the gifts of that dispensation. So now it's literally at a position where if you were ignorant of the dispensational shift in Scripture, and you want to pick up a snake or you want to drink poison, guess what? You're probably going to die. And your ignorance of Scripture could cost you your life. You've thought about that? Interesting. Very interesting.
Well, if that took place, they would not have had to be a scar, because the same situation with the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit indwells you, he doesn't leave a scar.
Exactly. Yeah.
But he leaves the impression. Now, if you've been given the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit's working with you, leading and guiding you, then that impression can bloom from one to ever how many it needs to be.
Needs
to know that.
Exactly. Good point.
And I think this might have been the same thing here.
Yeah. Good point. So 21, the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and his wife. Then Manoah knew. Now he knows that he was an angel of the Lord. Now Manoah and his wife get it. They know what they were dealing with. The veil has been removed. And they're like, holy smokes, we were dealing with an angel. We didn't even know it. And Manoah, verse 22, listen to this, it's interesting. So Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die. You see that? First thing out of his mouth. And listen, his wife says, well, I love you, we're going to die. It's been nice knowing you. We've seen an angel of the Lord, we're history. He said, we shall surely die because we have seen God. See, they assumed that because they saw an angel, they had seen Elohim, the Creator himself. Well, they didn't realize they had been dealing with part of God's creation, not God himself. And that's important to note. He said, we shall surely die because we have seen God. But his wife said unto him, she really seems to have better powers of reason here than Manoah does. His wife said unto him in verse 23, if the Lord were pleased to kill us, he would not have received a burnt offering and a meat offering in our hands, neither would he have showed us all these things, nor would at as at this time have told us such things as these? That's a very good point. She's like, wait a minute, Manoah. If the Lord, if we were just going to die because we saw the Lord, why would the angel come and reveal all these things to us that are going to take future? I haven't had a son yet. The angel said I was going to have a son that would deliver Israel. So she's got a very valid point, I think, to her argument.
Well, again, the word is called a comforter from time to time.
Yeah, exactly. Verse 24, and the woman, this is sometime later, at least 9 months, right?
Yep.
And the woman bare a son, just as the angel had said, and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and here's the big part, and the Lord blessed him. The Lord blessed Samson. And the spirit of the Lord, this is the spirit, the holy, this is the Holy Spirit, began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol. The Spirit of God began to move him. What does that mean? Let's look at that in verse 25 there. Began to move him or to stir him with trouble. The Spirit would begin to deal with Samson as he grew. Remember, Manoah wanted to know, well, what do I do to raise this child? How do I raise him correctly? And he never gave any, the angel of the Lord never gave any raising instructions or special instructions or take him here to this person and let him learn this, you know, in the ways of the Jedi. He never was taught in the ways of the Force or any of that stuff like they would in the movies. All there were the rules for his mom not to break any of the things of the vow of the Nazarite. You see my point? No special training. God didn't need to train it. When the time comes for Samson to do that, which God has in plans for him, then he'll do it. God will empower him to do so. Now, the life of Samson is very interesting. It's an interesting story for the next two or three chapters. Very interesting. The things that he does, the arrogance that he has, the people that he deals with, the Philistines, lots of interesting things go on there. And I got wrote down read 14, 1 through 14. And I don't think we have time to get all the way to verse 14 this morning, but I do want to, let's go ahead and start in Judges chapter 14, because it picks up with the story of Samson now, here in chapter 14, and some things begin to happen in his life. So Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Let me ask you this. Typically, according to the law, are the Danites, the tribes of Dan, anybody out of the tribes of Israel, supposed to give their sons or their daughters to the daughters of the sons of the Philistines? Wasn't supposed to happen, was it? So here, in order to fulfill God's purpose, what does Samson have to do to fulfill God's purpose? He's got to kind of think outside the lawful box, don't he? He's got to color outside the lines a little bit here. Got to go and seek after what God would call strange flesh or forbidden flesh. Got to find him a girlfriend of the Philistines, not of the Israelites, but he's got to find a Philistine woman. And boy, he does. So he went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up, verse 2, and he told his father and his mother and said, "Man, I have seen a woman. She is something, Dad. I have found the one. I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. I want that one. Like shopping at Walmart. I want this one, Daddy." "Get out your checkbook. I have found the one." Then his father and his mother said unto him, and they know the law. So here's the question. His father and mother said unto him, "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, an Israelite woman, or a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all of my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Son, why do you want to do this? It's against the law to do this. You can't find a woman of all the tribes of Israel to be your wife? You had to run down here to the camp of the enemy and find the daughter of our enemy that you want to marry? Is that right, son?" That's what they're asking. Al's just grinning over there. You got questions?
No.
No questions? And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." I like this one, Dad. This is the woman. You got to get that one, because she pleases me well. Very pretty, evidently. Very pretty one. But his father, verse 4, and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord. "Thou shalt take no daughters of thine enemy to thy sons, neither give thy sons to their daughters, and vice versa. For that is an abomination unto the Lord said." But here, guess what? So, when it meets God's purposes, for God's own special purposes, can the law be broken? Evidently. You remember when Christ told the man, he healed him, lame for so many years. I've jumped forward now to the days of Christ, and he's going around healing the sons of Israel to show that he is the Christ, the Messiah. And he stood this man up after he'd been lame all his life, and he said, "Take up thy bed and walk." And the Pharisees were standing around watching all this. And when the man took up his bed, they jumped him for breaking the law. Because it's the Sabbath. You can't do that. He healed the man on the Sabbath. I mean, they were so into their law, they missed the whole point of the miraculous healing. All they were concerned about was that the law had been broken. But here, a little different. Here, God himself, the Lord, said his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. They were in or within the 40-year captivity that God had given them over to as a nation. And they were stuck in it. There in verse 4. I'm going to stop there. I'm going to leave you for a cliffhanger today. We'll stop there at verse 4, and we will pick up with this study next week. Not going to read the entire, all the details of Samson and what goes on, but we probably could. The main thrust and exposure that I wanted you to get out of this morning was this interaction that Manoah and his wife, who is never named, had with this angel of the Lord that came down with a special purpose, as Dad pointed out. Number one, to reveal to them what was going to come to pass. And number two, probably to remove whatever impediment that it was that was keeping them from conceiving, whether it was him or her, who knows. Scripture doesn't say. So,
well, it, since it didn't give the wife's name, that kind of leaves it to something that she wasn't a person here.
Exactly, and you get that a lot in the Old Testament stories. When you see a woman's name singled out in the Old Testament, it is a very special situation, as I'm sure you guys have seen in your ladies' study with the group in Arizona. They oftentimes, all the ladies will take a certain woman in Scripture, and they'll make a point of whether the woman was named or not, like Ruth, very, very special character. And Rahab, very special character. See, when they're named and called out, they're a very notable woman in Scripture. So,
but see, Samson is going to be the notable character here.
And not his mom.
Not his mom, but Manoah, he was head of the household.
Yeah, so exactly.
It was not unusual that his name would be.
Right. So we'll stop there at chapter 14, verse 4. And we'll pick up with, as they say, the rest of the story next week and continue on with the story of Samson here.